Monday, April 8, 2019, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1:02.
Okay.
All right. We'll call to order the Board of Equalization. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Kevin is absent. Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Here.
Okay. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The agenda here, we have a consent agenda items. Right to Justin, okay. The minutes, I guess, from the meeting on February 25th, March 13th, which was a special meeting, and March 18th, which was an emergency meeting.
Who wants to approve the consent agenda items?
Okay, Tony made a motion to approve our consent agenda.
I would second that.
Marty? All right, do we need a agenda? All right, roll call for that. Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Do I call for any new items for the business? Or any additional items or no? We have three items on the new business list for this meeting. The first item is Jeff Curry, the assessor, requesting board approval of tax list corrections for parcels number 2200-15260 J. Ramsey, parcel 22002-7404 M. McVeigh, and parcel 22014-7590 V. Phillips. We have a comment on that, Jeff?
Yeah, we sure do. Excuse me. So the first parcel we're dealing with, the 15260, that one, that roll correction is it inappropriately had a homestead exemption placed upon it because the state's paperwork came in with the wrong parcel number on it. So this parcel actually got the homestead exemption and should not have. So they're going to go back on the tax roll. That's the correction.
Okay.
And the next one, that was parcel 27404, was the parcel that should have received that homestead exemption. So now this correction is giving them the exemption. So that one is should be under Mary Linda McVeigh. And we're not sure what happened with it, but the office has corrected it. So all the paperwork should be coming under the right parcel number now from the state.
Okay.
Who made that mistake?
The state. The state had the wrong parcel number for some reason. I have no idea how. But so somebody got an exemption they weren't supposed to, and somebody didn't get it and thought they were. So that has been, that will be corrected here.
Did it go back and get the taxes in?
Yeah, it will. Yeah, so we're going to go back, and the person who should have paid taxes that didn't have any will have owe taxes, and then the McVeigh lady will receive her homestead. So instead of having to pay, she won't pay now.
Somebody
she did. Was 100%. Yeah, it'll be made up.
So
from the other parcel. Yep.
So the far right-hand column is the correct.
Yeah, there you go. That's your total. Yep, those are your tax numbers right there.
Okay. For the two parties that were impacted. Okay.
So what's going back on the books and what's coming off? Okay. And our third one is, it's a Turk case. We got that in. They're just now catching up to some of our older cases, and it was just a Turk case we had won And it's actually a little bit different because we wanted and they actually raised his value as well. So extra taxes were owed, so thus we have a tax roll correction on it.
So this, yep, the final, that last column is...
That last column here. So it's not mud heels, it's just that little bit there, extra.
Small adjustment.
Yeah, for like a couple $100 or $400 or something, if I remember correctly.
But Jeff, it says the value went up $71,000. It surely be more than $58.
Oh, well, he was at 71, ought 70. We raised him to 71.5. Oh. So it's just the difference between those two.
Okay.
Like $430, I believe.
And the last two pages of the actual declaration from the church.
Yep, that's the letter that shows they. What happens is when they give us the findings, they'll submit to our treasurer's office and my office that we are to, you know, reset the value and gives us permission to get the taxes.
Okay.
Or remit them, just depending on how the case goes.
Direction goes. Okay. Any other comments on this piece? Item 8. I ask for a motion.
I'd make a motion that we accept Jeff's recommendation on those and move forward with.
All right. So we have a motion from Marty, a second from Larry, on accepting the recommendations regarding the Ramsey parcel, the McVeigh, which is the same parcel, and the Phillips Turk adjustment.
Yep.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay. That's item A. Item B on the new business list is Rick Bosque, South Sioux City, regarding the use of referees during the county valuation protest process. We have
Rick. Jill.
Hello.
I'm here representing. I've been contacted by several taxpayers. I got one show of hands of the people I'm representing here. We don't feel that the referee system's working like it should. I've heard from people, and they say that they go to the referee, they come to some terms, and then when they get their notice of valuation back, it's not like what they had talked about. And people are unhappy with that. The valuations range. Some people are getting their valuations of 200% increase, you know, and then there's some that are, you know, are 63%, and they're just all over the board. And we just don't feel that the referee system is working. It cost us $49,000 and some change last year for the referees, and they come out of Lincoln. They have absolutely no skin in the game here. We're already paying the commissioners to do this job. As Board of Equalization, you have the final say. We're signing all the protests as they come in. Our feeling is that it needs to come back to the board. The board needs to hear our protest, hear our testimony of why our values shouldn't be what they are, and then make a decision based upon that. And also make it at that point so that people know what they're getting instead of dragging it out and doing that. So that's kind of where we're at. That being said, you guys are going to make a decision today on those referees. And I think we've got enough people here to support that you guys take that job back. And that's what we're asking.
When you were on the Board of Commissioners, did we have that system?
We did.
What year is it? I don't recall.
You know, Tony, I couldn't tell you the years, but I can tell you that Lyle Todd was still on the board. Jackie Hartnett was still on the board. They did it back when Jack Bovier was on the board.
I think.
And to be truthful, you know, this is how we worked it. We heard people were given a time to come in, and they protested their taxes. We heard those. And at the end of the day, if we needed to go out, we'd make arrangements with those people. And either Jackie or I or Lyle would grab a handful of those, and we would go out and personally meet with those people on their properties. So we had, the commissioners had skin in the game. And, you know, it's that's where we need to get back to. So we would, you know, I just think this referee deal, you know, if they were people that were qualified to do the job and were from Dakota County, and they had to look at you in the face or me in the face every day after we had done our values, you know. You know, we talk about some of the farmers, and I've got friends that are farmers in Iowa. Their taxes are $50, ours are $100. So when we start farming, we've got $100 of the taxes we're paying before we even go to the field. You know, things are out of line. But
did you guys use the referee system at all when you were on the board then?
We did. And I was the chairman of that, and you know, there was a lot of discrepancies.
Is that when you hired the? Did you hire the outfit we're using now?
No, okay. We didn't have. We had Lyle Todd was one of them that we hired, and then I think we had some other realtors, people that knew what was going on.
But you didn't have any out of the area.
No.
Okay.
No. So
excuse me, Rick.
Go ahead.
I think it makes sense what Rick says. You know, in one point, I mean. There's people, local people here, know what the value of the property is, and people from Lincoln, Omaha, or some other areas, it's hard to really know what the value of the property is. I mean, Jeff, do you have anything to say about that? I mean,
right now, we're actually, what my recommendation today is going to be is, Residential is a local firm, so is Ag, and then Commercial, we don't have anybody for. The guys that we use that value and visit all these commercial parcels that rolled the new values in 18, or who we've used in the past, they would have the most knowledge and experience with that parcel, but that being said, there's people over in Woodbury County that could probably be. I don't know what they'd charge. You know, it's different than hiring a residential appraiser. When you hire a commercial appraiser, he's a CG and he doesn't get $600 appraisal. He gets $6,000 to $10,000 an appraisal. So we're talking high six digits salary people that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I'm not opposed to anything. If the board wants to hear them, they can hear them. I'll write an opinion on everyone, give you the comps, you know, to support why we did what we did. But the referee thing, you know, Rick makes some sense. It's nice to have some local people on there. And that's what we were kind of trending to this year. Because we spent, I think there was too much spent last year on it. And I wasn't happy with the results as far as my residential, how it turned out. I actually got hurt in a Turk case last year because somebody had lowered a house, and I had all my comps and everything ready, and it turned out the decision was made on a parcel that nobody talked to the assessor about. So we lost that case. Where if they would have left it alone and had it where it's at, I mean, we had to go down to $180,000 on a house. And I've got 3 years of sales that show nothing on that street is sold for under two. We lost $20,000 of taxable value. So that's why for residential, I'm picking them all out. I don't want anybody here other than a local appraiser in one. And that's it.
But if I recall right, I think we're trying to hire Lyle Dott and some other realtor.
Yeah, we tried last year, but Lyle retired.
Not retire, and we just couldn't find anybody. I mean,
I remember that. Yeah, anybody else at the time. So we kind of got caught at the end of the game without having enough time to search for somebody.
So going forward into this year, as far as the ag and the residential, you're thinking that we're going to be local as the plan stands right now.
Exactly. Okay. And I haven't had time. You know, like I said, on the commercial, I'm a little bit torn on that. Mm. You know, we got a company that did put the values on, but they're not, well, some of them are, they're all over the state, this outfit is. They got people clear down in Fall City, they're everywhere. But
I think it would be a little bit harder for the commissioners to be brought up to speed as far as determining value of different commercial properties. I guess I would be a lot less, I'd be a lot less comfortable doing that than I would on residential.
Yeah, I would say so too.
Yeah, commercial's a lot trickier. I mean, you gotta go by. I mean, it's tough.
It's tough. Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at the board here. We got Marty Hohenstein, who's a home builder. I'm sure he's done some commercial stuff. We got Larry Albanicious here that was a commercial contractor and is very, very good at what he did. I know he knows values. We got Tony Gomez is sitting here. He owns a lot of property throughout this area and knows what values are. And I'm sure that Janet's very well qualified, too. I think that you guys can handle this job. And that's what I'm representing these people for. That's why I came here. You guys need to step up. Do this equalization. For the people of Dakota County. You know, we're paying the commissioners' salaries are over $125,000 a year for five.
Yeah, that's
so why should we hire other people to come in here and do your job? Thank you for your time.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great.
Appreciate it.
A very helpful commentary from you with this. So
you bet.
Thank you for your comments. So that was item B, and so I think the next item C relates to the referees that we were talking to. So is there an item in the packet, or is Jeff commenting on it?
Yes, comments.
Okay, Jeff. You have the information on the certified appraisers as referees.
Alrighty.
We have two.
So everybody got. Oh, is that email?
Yeah.
So you can kind of see on that email I listed out some local people. And I'll go through that here real briefly. So what I'm looking at doing, and I'm not sure, and it's to reduce some of the dollars that we need to spend on this because there's very little changes in any values this year. So I'm expecting a kind of a reduced workload here for the board and the assessment office and referees if we have them. But what I was looking at doing this year was using, it's a company that we use for data listing service. We have a contract with to help us with other things in the past. And they do data listing services for us, and they'll do, like Mr. Bierman's house, you know, if they don't want the assessor's office in there, he's like a third party we can send in there. I would hire his company to do it. My recommendation was they're local. He does appraisals in Dakota County, Woodbury, Union, Thurston, Dixon. I mean, he's got about a 150-mile radius from right here. So he knows everything that goes on. And I would also, the reason I recommended them for Ag 2 is I got a couple of people on there. Doug Helvig does a lot of Ag appraisals and still does. And I believe we've used him in the past. I don't remember what he had going on last year, but we couldn't get him. But this year, we can either get Doug Helvig for Ag, or Innovative has a guy that worked, I don't know, 30-plus years for Farm Credit, and that's all he did was appraisals for Farm Credit. So I have an expert there, too, and he did appraisals across the state. So for Farm... Yeah, they're a lot cheaper than hiring TBI. I mean, these are local people that we're talking about. You know, I mean, these are closer to our price range that we like to pay. So I think dollar-wise, just Doug Helvig if we wanted to, or Innovative can expand into Ag if we would want them to. Plus, all I can do legally, as I understand it, and Kim can correct me if I'm wrong, I wanted to take a bunch of it on too, but all I can do is give you an opinion. So I'm going to write a form out with an opinion on it for you, and I'll give you like five comps on every one, whether they're protesting equalization or if they're protesting value. I can give you, provide you comps either way and some photos and things like that, in my opinion as well. So that's available too. So I will be doing that in addition, which is why I think we only need, from a support perspective, one person for residential and for ag. I don't actually, ag just dropped another 9%. Over the county, overall, our county value looks like it's going down this year for the first time in a long time. So I don't foresee a lot of ag protests at all. And if they are, I don't know what they would be protesting, and I can probably just handle those myself too. But I can't. I can go to Turk as Kim's witness, but I can't be the referee for you. That's the only thing I can't do. I can still write an opinion and give it to you, but I can't be called a referee too. So, I mean, we're trying to cut it down. Cause I think last year we had up to 4 or 5 different people in here, in and out, doing it for us. And I think we kind of got caught at the end late is what the deal was. I don't think we had a lot of time to discuss this, which is why we're talking about it now, trying to get ahead of this thing. So, and then that way, from a commercial standpoint, that would give us time. I mean, we could call over town. There's a couple of, I mean, I know a couple of CG appraisers over there. Like I said, they're pretty busy, and I don't know what they could give us and how much it would cost. Cost is the big thing for me.
Is it per item, or can we decide on some of them and just when we have a difficult or when it's kind of a unique situation getting?
Yeah, we could do something. Yeah, we could. I mean, we could have a referee for something, but something I can't handle, then use an appraiser for it. The only thing that gets tricky is if, as a board, if you don't have a referee at all, and I can't be your referee, then you have to meet as a quorum twice, I believe. So you'll have to meet as a quorum to hear the protests, and then you can't really give a result there. Then you meet again on our set day so the public can, everybody comes in. And then you got to meet and review the information again, and then you say it. So it's very, very time consuming, would be the only thing. But I don't know, like I said, this year we have very little, there's nothing out of hand from an increase perspective.
So for what you're saying, yeah, your expectation as far as getting protests this year, you don't expect to get the number that we've been having in the last
year? No, I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, like, because last year we really got hit based on we rolled a 3-year commercial project. Sure. So that got us. And then the 2 years before that was catching up residential. And then also all those previous years, ag kept going up too high, sure, too fast.
Okay.
Yeah. And right now this is kind of, it's kind of a quiet year, really. We don't have a lot of, we're caught up to the market. Yeah, knock on wood, everybody. I don't have any besides my head. But we've had a quiet year. And like I said, the highest anything should change is 9%, and it's down, and that's for ag ground. And as far as up goes.
So ag's going down.
Yeah.
Residential's going to have to go up.
A little bit in a couple of places, but not much, but it is.
So how are we going to balance the budget then?
It's going to be really, really tough. If our personal property numbers come in like they've been trending down, that's going to get very interesting. Because that's about all we got left to count towards our budget is we got personal property numbers, which I'll have those done in July, and then we'll have centrally assessed. There'll be some coming from there, but we're going to lose there too, I think, because of Black Hills Energy, and then a couple of small in lose. I mean, there's not a lot left out there.
Yeah, luckily in my house we have $60,000,
mm-hmm,
and if we don't have the money to function as a county,
mm-hmm,
somebody's going to pay the bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine what happens.
My tax goes up another
30. I don't think anybody will go up from a residential standpoint. I don't think anybody's going up that much.
So if land goes down, residential stays the same,
then there's just less money in the budget.
There's less
valuation in the county, which means there's less tax in the county.
Because we call it the commercial.
So how do we function?
Well, that's the job that
you guys can do. Well, generally what happens is if it's dropping, levies go up. I mean, it's a simple formula. You get so much money to spend, and then you got a levy, you multiply, and guess if that's your revenue, and either if the land is going down, then, you know, I mean, that's how it gets balanced. So levy time, I think, is going to be very interesting this year.
It don't look to me like we didn't expect any additional revenue from commercial.
No, we did. We rolled them 18. You know, I think Rick mentioned some pretty high, you know, changes and some things that were pretty radical. And I was, you know, we had commercial properties out there that haven't had a different value in over 14 years. That just got caught up.
Well, they got a lot of lawyers.
Oh, yeah, they do. I've been playing with all of them.
Good money out.
Yeah, it's tough. But we've won a couple so far, so. But right now, I mean, that was our big gain last year was commercial.
So is this an annual decision regarding appraisers?
I mean, so you guys can, yeah. So basically, I don't know if we need to make a decision today or if you guys want to take an action, maybe talk to some other people or...
I'd like to make a comment. I need to... I know that we're probably people wants to hear from us what decision we're going to make, but I don't feel comfortable with that myself to make a decision today. Not because I'm not in favor of what Rick is saying, but I think it's a good point, and it is in many ways. As far as load for the commissioners, that's what we're here for. You know, I mean, we're here for to serve the community, but we need to start a little bit more on compensation. You know, set the compensation what it's going to cost us, and see. You mentioned that. You can probably find someone from Sioux City to...
Yeah, I mean, I've got ag. I can cover ag and residential locally for sure.
Sure.
I'm not sure about commercial. Initially looking at, like I said, I knew a couple of people, but they're tied up. I mean, they're busy making money. So, and besides what they would charge us an hour, we wouldn't want to pay.
Yeah. Right.
And going forward, I think before we make a decision, we need to contact some of the people local that have the background in the commercial and find out what the costs would be.
Yeah, if somebody has enough resources. Yeah, and like I said, it should be like, because I think everybody that, we had quite a few protests last year on commercial naturally because we rolled to the new value. So I think everybody's already been able to air out their concerns, and I know some changes have been made both ways, and we've won a couple of Turk cases or settled a couple of Turk cases already. And so I don't know how many we're really going to get on commercial for sure.
Mm-hmm. Rick, you got something to add? I see you standing there.
Yeah, I do. Everyone knows that you can go over to the assessor's office, and you can go into their system, and you can get comps. You can get comps all day long on houses that have sold, farms that have sold, what their values are. And Jeff can give you all of that information. So if you have all that information in front of you, of those comps, on commercial, ag, you name it, you can make an informed decision. You don't need to hire someone to do that. You've got all that information. There's land that sells, there's houses that sell every day. You guys can make those decisions. You don't need to hire anybody. You got $49,000 that you spent last year on referees. You got a budget problem, and I've worked with Joan extensively on the budget. I've even went, you can talk to Sheriff Kleinberg about things that didn't go so well. You got a budget problem, save the money on those referees. Let's do it here.
One of the things about the referees is you got to wait for them to come up here, too. I've been dealing with Jeff from back in last year waiting for a referee to give me a call and nobody's called. So I'd support it for somebody
local, to,
that has an interest, because there's no interest. They get up the car at 5 o'clock and they get their day's over. They don't care. So like somebody with accountability.
All I'm saying is that we're not against, and I don't think, you know, at this point, but they give us a little bit of time to get some information from Jeff and be ourselves more informed. And it is no doubt that we can do it. I mean, it's just a matter of that.
Do we need to have an agreement with the firm? So if we hire, let's say you decide to, I'm not saying you will, but if you hired someone, do we have to have that on an agreement?
Or a contract?
Or some type of contract that has to be...
It can be per an incident.
I just know, like, if the assessor's office, when I hire for an appraisal, I have to take it all the way through the property assessment division, and the tax commissioner himself has to prove it before they can work. So that I don't know either. That might be another thing that gets in our way.
So when does this, we would anticipate this, we would start needing to...
In June, because June is when, by June 1, we'll have all the COVs and stuff sent out.
Okay.
And then I think June 1 is when they can start putting their protests in.
So definitely we need to be making this decision and figuring out...
we should be done in May with this, early May, thinking. Yep.
I would agree. I kind of like that concept.
And Janet?
Yep.
And the minute those protests hit here, mm-hmm. you can start hearing them.
Okay.
The minute those protests are filled out and Jeff's got them, he can pull his comps together on those parcels of property, and you can start hearing them immediately.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
That's great. And I didn't get, the gentleman sitting next to you, Rick?
Rick Robertson.
Rick Robertson, we got to have that in there. I'm sorry, I should have asked. Two Ricks there.
Yep, two Ricks.
Ricks,
we had a pair. Jeff, I thought your office always went out and did the appraisals on a house. You build a new house.
Yeah.
You guys go up and measure it up and you set a value.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you need? What's the argument? I don't understand, I guess. What the mm-hmm. You've done set the value, that's what you pay, right?
Yep.
So yep. Why is that so hard?
You know, that's question of the day. That's question of the year. We don't know. There's protests we get in that just don't make any sense. They paid more for the house than it's listed at. You know, they people want to protest for different reasons.
Well, we've had a number of protests where they wanted their property valued at more.
More. A couple people wanted something higher.
There's all kinds of protests. They present
to us. I wouldn't take care of either.
Well, but they protest.
But you have to equalize.
But you have to equalize the properties in the community.
Within the whole neighborhood. So equalization is the key thing because...
But that's what you do. Your office does
it. I have to do it like... No. We just did that abstract that I gave to Joan. That has to be done beforehand. Like right now, the tax administrator just issued the reports and opinions. They set the level of values for Dakota County, and they called our county equalized in all gambits. So, we're good to go.
So why do we got to hire someone to go out and do an appraisal? If you set the appraised value...
Oh, we don't hire them for that. Like when we did Tyson, we hired a company to do Tyson. There's like three people in the U.S. that are qualified to do Tyson in the whole country. I mean, we had to pay. No, I don't. There's no.
I'm talking about residential.
No, I don't need any appraisals to tell me about residential.
So residential. Okay.
Yeah, no, it's commercial mainly. Big commercial. We're just not qualified sometimes.
Yeah,
and what happens is they come in with two or three lawyers. They've got two different appraisals because they can pay $20,000 an appraisal. So we have to fight it with something or just lose.
So we as commissioners could take care of...
There's a lot of protests that are just kind of common sense stuff. Yeah, that wouldn't take very long. Sure.
Do we want to kind of table this item until we do a little research? I guess I'm asking for the board here.
I would recommend that we look into it a little bit further, get some prices if we do need to use anybody on some of the commercial properties, and
try to do as much.
Yeah.
Kind of research to figure out.
Get it done before the protest is here, before everything the word Lord gets here. So we need to have the connection, but I don't think necessarily today, personally.
So
myself.
We could do a research over the next couple of weeks, and by the middle of...
Right.
Wow, this is almost the middle of April.
I know, it's going by fast.
By the beginning of May.
So the next equalization meeting could be...
She can put it on the next meeting,
What would be that? Is it 2 weeks?
Yep, 2 weeks.
2 weeks. The 22nd, I guess, wouldn't that be?
Yep, mm-hmm. The
23rd. 23rd.
Yeah.
No,
22nd, you're right, sorry. 22nd.
Second, yeah. That would be good. This has been very helpful. I mean, yeah. I haven't been through this process yet, so I'm kind of asking some questions.
No, absolutely. No, we should. And I know Rick brought up some points. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to think about when we do this because there is money and taxpayer dollars involved.
And if we can save a little, that's certainly
helpful. Yeah, and that was kind of our goal going local this year. Mm-hmm.
And that's an excellent goal, yeah. When we need
them. If we need them. And that might just be a thing. It's like as needed. Maybe do an agreement or something.
And thank you guys for all of you come over and support that. You know, I think.
I appreciate everybody that came in. And
she's one.
I'm sorry. I didn't see your name. Yeah. And your name is?
Walt Bierman.
Walt
Bierman. I live at 631 Lakeview 1 Drive.
Okay.
Basically, I just want to share with what Mr. Bushgate talked about, the having a referee. Of what transpired with me in the I was fortunate enough to bid on a home that was I built in 1970. It went through a foreclosure. It sat through two winters. Pipes broke all over inside of it. The trustee from Omaha lawyer came down to auction it off on the courtroom steps. And the opening bid set by the U.S. Bank was $102,000. I had had it appraised as is prior to, so I had now give me an idea of what I could bid on it. It didn't sell at the auction, so now it goes to REO, and Freddie Mac winds up with it. Anyway, I put in a bid, and the interesting thing is the appraiser for the mortgage company came in at less than 1% under the what the bank had opened the bids on. So now I've got two documents that are within 1%. That tells me. Now, I brought those documents to the referee, and I'm going to explain to you what transpired. The first thing I asked the gentleman, his name is Aaron Wilson, I said, do you have a license for appraisal? His comment, oh, yes. In fact, I've got a real estate license also. I didn't say anything. My wife was there with it. When you read in here on the document that he gave back to the appraiser, he said, appraisal by a Nebraska real estate appraiser properly credentialed. Okay? So he was happy with the credentials. Now, here's where I had a problem. He says, we were a no-show. Now, my wife and I, she's sitting right back there. We were there. And I gave him all the documents. Because it was repoed and Freddie Mac auctioned it off as a fixer-upper. Now, fixer-upper, how much has to be fixed up? That should be totally separate. And that's why the appraiser came out and appraised it. Now, the interesting thing is when you have something like that, the only way you can reappraise a home is to add the value added as we started. As of January 1 of 2018, I sent a letter and had it to give it to the referee and added in all of my costs that I had put into that date. All right, his comment was, gee, you were more generous than I was going to be. But he said, I'll accept your numbers. Am I right, Carol?
Yes.
Now, I think that's over with, right? I get a copy of this letter back from them after the no-show. He didn't change a thing. But what really got my attention, on the bottom of the page, he signed it 7-8-2012. I started doing some investigating. This referee was sued by Attorney General of Nebraska for fraud with the another realtor and mortgage company and fraud. So all this time, he comes down there and he's a fraud. Now, to me, that's not a representative of an honest person. The sad thing is my property went up 121.5% for a fixer-upper. How much got to be fixed up on it? And, you know, a couple days before we had our meeting, photographer from here to courthouse came out and took two pictures, once in the road and once in the backyard. Brought them back for the assessor to see. Has no idea what the inside looks like. He doesn't even, it's a picture of a big barn because that's what it looks like. Anyway, come back. He don't know if it's got full of hay or if it's all gutted with fire inside. But now here he said it's a fraud from the state telling me that no show unless my property go up 120%. That's all I got to say.
Okay. My understanding is that Fred's office, or Jeff's office, has been working with you to get this
rectified. Yes, he has, and I do appreciate that.
All right.
Because that's the only way things are going to get.
All right.
But I agree
with
you.
Thank you, Jeff, for doing that. You bet.
That's good. Yeah.
We're working on it, I guarantee you that.
All right. So we
have got it done.
Tabled item C for the. Right for the meeting in April.
If you table, you got to do a motion, or okay, you just want to put it on the next agenda.
Let's just move it to the next agenda.
Is that your motion?
Yep.
Okay, Marty, we're going to move to.
You don't need a motion.
Move to.
No motion.
Oh, Miller,
yep.
Comment.
Thanks. One comment on that.
And your name?
Sam Ferraro. I'm a real estate appraiser. I was one of the referees for last year. I wasn't the referee that I mentioned earlier. One note on that issue would be I didn't have a lot of time to do it last year, but we did end up spending about 3 or 4 days hearing protests. We got about 20 to 25 per day is what we were able to hear, with all the evidence giving in. And then typically, a homeowner will bring in more information than you can kind of digest at that moment. So it was something where I had to review it after they left, because then, Jeff would give me information, the taxpayer would give me information, and then we try to be objective as possible, and then, we also used market information that we have, like, the MLS data and, other sources like that. But, there's a time factor involved there, too. We had 700 protests last year. If it gets 20 or 25 per day, you can kind of see, that's a huge amount of time. So I just wanted to put that out there, as far as before you make your decision, that's the time commitment you're kind of looking at.
Thank you.
That's very, very helpful. I would agree. Sometimes digesting it is part of the process. Digesting it. All right. A motion's on the table from...
No motion.
No motion?
No motion.
Okay.
Just gonna move
We're
it.
Just going to move it to the next agenda? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The next item on the agenda is mail or any emergency business. Anything that we have that we've received that we need to? Okay. We also have a pointer for public comment. I know some folks have already made some comments. Anybody else that we want to hear from?
With regard to
this. Regard to this.
Yeah, because we've got Rick Robertson, I know, is here with Juan. It relates because it's part of the referee stuff, too.
Yep.
Carol will have something to say here as well.
Okay.
Sure. All right, Rick.
This kind of goes back to talking to Jeff last year. Nobody got back with me on 2018 taxes. And Jeff can kind of help me out here. I got a couple of parcels here. Our farm ground all sits together right outside here in Dakota City. And in 2017, the taxes were $10,528. 2018, $29,142. 200% increase. $173 an acre for farm ground. I mean, the check coming in barely pays the taxes. So, that's crazy, 200%.
How many acres is it?
163.
Roughly altogether.
Yeah. The disparities on some of the parcels are crazy. It was ag that they rated commercial.
It switched, yeah.
But yet it's farmed. And it's been farmed since the 60s. The same.
Forever.
Yeah. Same. And so, some of the pieces, one went 927 to 2,000, one went from 2,600 to 13,000. 1-1 from 1800 to 9232. So, and I've been bugging the heck out of him. I feel like he's a customer, and I feel bad about calling him. I really do. I feel like a pest. But it finally got to this point that I thought I'd better come and say something, because I usually just go with the flow. But when it's something of that magnitude, I feel something needs to be done.
Yeah, so what happened was, and this is another problem with hiring a firm as referees when on a busy year like that, when you don't have a chance, because then the assessor can't watch what they're doing, because I'm still writing opinions for everything. But I can, and I never can keep up with their 700. But Rick had come in and talked about it, and he got caught up in an annexation, so they switch everybody to commercial. And what had happened is they just grabbed his. There's three parcels, I think. Is that right?
Yep.
Did I get it right?
The big ones.
The three big ones. There was another one too, but and so they got switched to commercial. Yet along that same stretch, as part of the annexation, Olson's had some ground too, and the referee, nobody rolled that, or our commercial team, they didn't roll that as well. So what he had was essentially two. He had an equalization problem. And then he had another problem that's kind of an issue between counties and the state, as well as we don't. You'll find most counties want to use what we call highest and best use. So I don't care if it's in the middle of South Sioux, if somebody's got a cornfield in it, it's only going to yield so much to be a cornfield. So why would we put commercial on it that's going to price them completely out of the game? And that's what happened to three of his, or four.
Was it zone commercial?
Yeah, the city may have it. Yeah, they don't have anything left as ag in the city anymore. It's all zoned either residential. Well, actually, they got different codes, but it's a type of. Some of it is retail. Some of it, I mean, it's all different, but yeah.
Well, they did that over to Morgan's. They zoned that commercial.
Yes.
It was understood that it wouldn't be taxed as commercial because the tax is ag.
And that's what happened
here
too. Back when they did it commercial, that was the way it was going to be back then. And that's a whole different board and everything.
Well, so. the state law says we can't. We have to.
So tax it commercial if it's zoned commercial.
Yeah. Okay. As soon as the city limits get it, we lose all authority over it. But another attorney from the state who's working for NACO now, when I approached them about it, they said, if you want, you can do highest and best use and let them try to take you to Turk. Which is not fun, but I mean, I'm willing to do that. I mean, I'm thinking about doing a project this year and just taking every piece of ag ground that's being farmed in city limits, out of city limits, and setting everybody back to ag.
Well, there's a lot of different things that this is wrong. Is equalization.
Yeah.
Use. I mean, there's so many different approaches you can go.
There's like statutes. I think it's 77, 13, 43, and 13, 44. Talk about that annexation rule and stuff. And it's really not fair. I mean, they have what we call special value. If you live right next to something that's being developed for a residential or whatever, you get special value, which is 75% of the value, which basically is ag value anyway. That's what we put them on. But once they take you, that's where we get our hands tied.
Well, I could be wrong about that mortgage property, but I was sure that they said there was going to be a zone into the city, they were going to build that data center there,
yeah,
and then it flooded and it fell through.
Yeah.
But it was understood, I was at the city board council meeting, and they said that it could be taxed as ag, not commercial, until it was used for commercial.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have any authority over that. We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. County. So they can say it, but we have the authority over that.
Well, I guess it was understood that the county commissioners at that time.
Oh, voted.
That it wouldn't be assessed as commercial.
I think then the state would have came after us and said that's a tax abatement, which is illegal too. See, we get our hands tied.
It's in the city limits, so they can do that.
What's that?
If it's in the city limits, they can do tax abatement.
No, not in Nebraska. Nope, they're not spotting. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying it's illegal in Nebraska.
They can do a TIF if they're doing a project.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You can TIF, Larry. Yeah.
That's out of city limits there anyway, as far as I know.
It is. That it falls into our jurisdiction.
Jeff, did they take Greenbelt off?
Yeah, they switched it and call it special value now.
Special value. So mm-hmm. Certain that commercial property has special value?
Yes, and it kind of did until it got annexed. And then once it's inside the city limits, they won't let us do special value anymore. They call it... it's whatever the highest and best use to the city is, which would either be residential or, no, yours would be industrial.
So, not to drag things on, but this is mm-hmm. this is the thing that needs to go to Lincoln. You need to talk to Billy Albright, and that needs to be changed.
Yeah, it's a stupid law. It doesn't help.
Well, I think
it hurts us. I'm sorry. That's on the record. But
it is what it is. I think
Jeff Curry, JEFFCURRY, sorry, Ruth.
I think the issue here isn't so much going forward because you said.
He's done going forward.
I'm done going forward. But for 2018, not getting. There's a $20,000 difference here that nobody got back to me in the time frame. And with taxes coming, the last payments coming up, that's why it's kind of come to a culmination. So
he should have had meetings with the commercial guys, not as referees, but as the commercial team. Mm-hmm. And then he should have met with them as referees because they should have told him to protest.
So,
and as far as I know, Rick has talked
no,
to nobody.
Zero.
So we're not getting
no.
Okay.
No.
That's not good.
Right? So, nobody, right?
No.
Just me.
Yeah.
And we've talked a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Rick.
Yep.
Yeah,
thank
we
you.
Need to figure out
so 18 is what I'm after, getting taken care of, because I think going forward we have an understanding.
Okay.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
2018, Robertson. Was there someone else? I can't remember. Are we good?
No, you need to call for public comment again.
Nobody.
Is there that was there public comment then for this? For Rick?
I know Mr. Curl wanted to speak, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because of difficulty standing, could I make my presentation off the corner of the table there?
Yes, you bet you can. You can have a chair right there.
Sure, you want to have a chair?
No,
you stand that long.
Oh, you want to stand?
No. Right here.
There we go.
Stand right there.
Okay. There we go. Thank you very much. Thank you, Tony.
I'm here in case I have to correct you.
All righty.
I really appreciate your opportunity to speak to this group. I have known these folks and parents for many, many years. Appreciate the opportunity. I want to give you a little quick background on the farm ground that I've got protest under here. It's right adjoining city, but it is not even within the city limits.
Yes, it is in the city limits.
Oh, it is. Okay, I stand corrected there. But anyways, still all farm ground. But my grandfather came over here before 1900, which is over 120 years ago, from Denmark. He didn't have any money. He had two brothers down in Sergeant Bluff. He came over here and he worked for them for 8 or 10 years. To save enough money to buy the property that is here adjoining South Sioux City right now. And after we got married, my grandfather came to me and he said, Gordon, would you please come out here and build a house out here? You're my only grandchild. I want you to have this property if and when anything, when I can't farm it anymore. And dear old Granddad Crow farmed it with horses. And I can show you pictures of him out in the cornfield picking his corn by hand on somewhere around 20 acres of ground. So he worked hard all his life. But anyway, he said, would you come out here and build a house? He knew I was recently married out of college. No, it's all right. Please don't correct me, James. Anyway, I came back out here and after I was there a year, he came out, right after I came out, and he said, would you build a house out here? I'll sell you an acre of ground for $1. If you'll build a house on this property, I want you to have the property when I'm gone. Okay, but anyway, so that's the history of it, of how we acquired the property. And now, ABC, which is three of the lots right adjoining over the Crystal Oil area, which my father owned, and my father sold that ground to a good friend of his, Rule Swenson. And anyway, they've been very, very good tenants over there. But anyway, it's adjoining that. The ABC is farm ground all the way south of Crystal Oil. And then D, E, F, and G. I want to point out to you the difference in the taxes over on our property on D, E, F, and G are approximately...
These are the value of the property board.
Okay. The value of our property is 100 and...
You have copies of this.
That's what you have.
Yeah.
Oh, we got it.
Yep.
Okay, I can't see the figure real quickly here, I'm sorry. Anyway, the property that was over there somewhere in the area of 120,000, 130,000 where we have our property and live there.
It says Crow at the top.
And then A, B, and C is now valued at $171,410. Rick Bosquet farms it. There's no way that he said you can't pay that kind of property taxes and have any profit on it at all. There's no way at all it's operated under that.
Could I say it boils down to one piece of farm ground, all farm ground. Part of it, some person, whether it's a referee or committee or somebody, decided that this part would be worth this much because you might sell it sometime in the future. There's no thought of selling this property. It's going to be farmed as long as we live. It has always been farmed since 1912. That's when it did. And so why should this portion be more than the other portion, which is all one piece of farm ground? It's not. Those acres are not worth any more than the other acres. It's all farmed, and it should be valued at that rate.
I'm trying to get a quick figure on ABC. Show me where ABC is in here. Show me ABC.
Here's ABC.
Okay, but there's no value on that sheet. Okay, I've got something on the sheet here. Okay, A, B, and C is valued now over close to the Crystal Oil, $171,410. Over where we live, it's valued lots D, E, F, and part of G, 3.5 lots over there, is valued at $98,000. So it's over $73,000 higher over there, close to the Crystal Oil. It's just totally out of reason. No way you can farm it and own it. It's just not profitable at all. So I'd like to see it go back to the same ratio that we have on D, E, F, and G.
It's overvalued to start with, but it certainly shouldn't be different values for.
So if you have any other questions, I'll be glad to try to answer, but I want to congratulate Jeff Curry. He's been very, very kind and understanding in our situation and trying to help us. And I appreciate the opportunity to make a presentation to your board. I think very highly of the county board. I think we're real lucky to have the kind of quality employees here that we do have.
Thank you, Brian.
Oh, great, thank you. A, B, and C are the
ones. Thank you very much for the opportunity to make my presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon. All right. Anything on that? Any motion? Or do we can't? Because it's zoned as industrial.
I know where I am.
Didn't get it filed. Okay. All right. So we've got information on that one. Any other public comment on text?
On water.
Yeah. We'll get you in just a minute, Kenny.
So I think that is the item we have on the tax equalization at this point. Yes. Yes. Okay. I guess at this point we've got a plan. We're ready to adjourn. A plan for our next meeting already.
Okay. Yep.
A couple of items to talk about. All right, with that, adjourn the meeting.
All righty. We'll go ahead and start our regular commissioner meeting. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room. It's available for all to review by all citizens in attendance. Go ahead, take roll.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Here.
Kevin is absent. Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
You can if you want.
I'd like to excuse Kevin for the last today's meeting.
Okay. You have to vote on this.
I don't have a second.
I'll second it.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yes. All right, we'll open things up for public comment. For anything that's not on the agenda, we'll go ahead and let you speak for 3 minutes on what you have going on, and we'll go from there. All right, Kenny.
The board.
You bet.
Just for the board members, right? There's five of them.
Yeah.
Can I make sure Kevin gets
them? You bet.
Yeah.
We'll make sure
you get it. Thank you.
Yeah, there's just photos in there and maybe some plans of what I'd like to do. I've visited with Fred about dredging out a road ditch and putting in a dike. Or not putting in a dike, putting in a culvert into Pigeon Creek. These are photos from 2011. And there's photos in the yellow envelope. You can keep the photos in the yellow envelope because I don't want them back. But this one that I'm going to pass around, I'd like to get that back because I don't have any more of those. What I'd like to do, well, I'm going to, first of all, I'm Ken Baker from Homer, Nebraska. I farm along Pigeon Creek, and we've kind of got a history of flooding going on along there. If you drove 35, you saw that water. That water is now down about 3 miles south on my property. It takes about a month to get there and a month for it to go off. And so we're looking at the first year. I farmed for 46 years. First year I'm not going to be able to plant a crop. And I got to ask you guys one question. How can we pay our taxes when we don't raise a crop? And I'm proposing, and I've talked to Fred about it just a little bit. I don't know. You probably haven't had a chance to look into it much.
I have not.
Okay. So I know the wheels turn slow, but I'd like to dredge like a quarter mile of road ditch out and put a tube into Pigeon Creek. The tube is not going to be your responsibility. That's going to be the NRD. I visit with those boys on Thursday. And they've been real good to work with. You know, we bugged them to get that dike dredged out, and they did a good job. And they've got it now where it's worked pretty good. We've got a tube down in my neighborhood that now drains the bottom portion of this. But on 200th Street, and Bryce Anderson has property on both sides of that street. That street acts as a dam to allow this water. And if we dredged that road ditch out and went into Pigeon Creek with a tube, we could divert 3/4 of that flood water back into the Pigeon Creek. That's what that water's trying to do to begin with. When it gets out on that bottom, you know, we've had 3 events in the last 8 years, and it's going to be a burden. So. And Marty, I got one question for you. You mentioned you were out driving around today.
Yep.
And you mentioned Ironton Avenue or South Bluff Road, maybe.
South Bluff Road.
Oh, okay.
Or North Bluff Road.
Okay. Well, I live on Ironton Avenue, which is right on South Bluff.
Yeah, and I drive by your place today.
Okay.
Up the log cabin right by this
right.
Taylor Cemetery.
That's up in the hills.
Yeah.
I'm talking about flooding.
Yeah.
You should have been on H Avenue or I Avenue.
I came over the bridge.
Okay.
I came over the bridge here. I drove down, and then I came up over the bridge here and saw where. Do you have the pipe currently plugged where it was coming, where it goes into Pigeon Creek on your side of the creek, the irrigation line that is run into the culvert there?
Yes, I pumped water for 2.5 weeks.
Yep.
To pump that water off, and in the process, we're trying to get that tube unplugged. The NRD and two boys from the NRD and myself, we worked for 4 days trying to get that tube unplugged. We got it partially unplugged, but it turns out it's got a kink in it, so it doesn't work very good. So
on a deal like that, like if you did it on the other side, where you're talking about, the water that comes down on there, would you have to have a backflow on it so when you have a flood situation like we had, it would prevent it from
the NRD,
flooding your property?
That'd be their responsibility. They know what they're doing with these tubes and these dikes, and it has a flipper on the inside and a gate on the outside. So it's pretty foolproof, but it takes some money. And they're going to have more money in this deal than you guys will. All I'm asking is for you guys to dig the road ditch out. And I've got maps in there, and there's pictures of floods for the last two events, and one of those is, I took those pictures yesterday. So you can see from those pictures, it's going to take an act of Congress to get a crop planted this year. But
The NRD is on board, as far as you know, or
well,
you've talked to them anyway?
Well, I talked to Zach, and I talked to our representative, but they've been good to work with so far, so I'm pretty optimistic that this is going to work, but...
Right here, right across the road, there's kind of a concrete flume there in the road, buried.
This is 200.
Right in
this
here.
Is 200 Street.
Yeah, right there.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a concrete slab in there that was dipped for the water to run across the road. I don't know which way it's supposed to run, okay. But it's filled in, of course.
Yeah, but there is a tube. You go down like a quarter mile.
Yeah.
Where all this water is backed up, there is a tube there that works, and all the flood water that comes down on us goes through that tube. So why couldn't we
run it across the road into the creek?
Why couldn't we put a tube on one side of the road to the other and run it into the Pigeon Creek? Because this is the bridge over Pigeon Creek. But that's about all I got to say.
Yeah.
This is a good opportunity with the. We've kind of been declared a disaster area. FEMA can maybe step in and help you dig out a road ditch. I don't know how much it costs to dig out a road ditch, but it can't cost that much money. Well, I got contractors who want to do it, but it's in you guys' court. So there was a long picture. Oh, Marty.
This one right here. Yep. There's a kink in that culvert. Currently?
Yes, the one that you were looking at, yeah.
How long ago was that one put in?
That's 15 years, probably. So. I'm not worried about the west side of the dike.
Yeah, I know.
We don't get a lot of water from the west side. It comes out of the hill. Mm-hmm. I can pump that. It's the east side where it's a river. We got guys upstream from us pumping water. We got three pumps running 24/7 for three seasons out of the year. And with the climate change... You know, we never used to get these rains like we get now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to adapt a little bit. The guy's pumping water into the road ditch up there by 35. We had a court hearing. Their lawyer, Dave Domina, said they can legally do that. So if you can legally put this water in these road ditches, they should go somewhere. They should exit that water or evacuate that water into a creek. And that's all I'm asking to do. So...
Into a drainage ditch.
We want to get rid of the water the right way. We want to dispose of it instead of share it with all the neighbors.
Yeah, I can understand that for sure.
Okay, that's all I got.
Well, it's nice the NCRD is.
But this is an opportunity for this board to make an improvement to Dakota County. So
thank you. You bet.
I don't see that if they got NRD got the culvert in, it wouldn't be that big a deal.
We're not sure if there's utilities in it or not, but even then, if we can go on the into the field.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. So, appreciate all you do.
I appreciate you coming in. All right, any other public comment? Come on up.
Can I do it from there?
You bet. Just state your name, and you're welcome to do it from right there.
I'm Jeanette Wallace. I'm a neighbor of Kenny.
Okay.
And the house you see in the pictures, that's my
house. Mm-hmm.
So all this water... I've had water in my basement once. It was 2011, but everybody did. But this year, it's getting to be in my ditches in front of my house. I prefer it to stay somewhere else. And I just think the guy pumping the water, he should have thought of everybody instead of himself when we got granted to pump this water. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
It'd be helpful to have the NCRD come and present to us sometime.
Yeah,
we
probably would. Yeah. At least to meet with them and see what they're open
to.
There's
a master plan of some sort.
Yeah. Anybody else? Any other comment? Any other public comment? You bet.
Pat Dorsey.
You bet.
I thought it was on the agenda anyway. It's about a request to close a minimum maintenance road.
Yep, yeah, that hearing is going to be the next thing.
Oh, okay.
Just a second, it will be. You bet.
Yeah. Marty, when does Roger Hernandez come up?
Roger comes up in just after the public hearing. Hold on just a second, Roger, about 10 minutes. Anybody else? All right.
Yes, I will make one comment.
You bet.
On this water.
Yep.
They referred to as a guy up the road pumping this water. A lot of this water was flood water, thaw, rain water.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't all coming through pumps.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come up to my place on North Bluff Road and see that there's still many hundreds, probably thousands of acres underwater that these pumps are referring to have nothing to do with the water that's up there now. But that water eventually is going to get to Mr. Baker's.
Yeah.
Sure.
It isn't these pumps that is all this problem.
The water moves.
Well, and they're not running 24/7 either, Kitty. They're all on timers. So we can't shut the creeks off. The two creeks run down there 24/7, 365 days a year. They can't be shut off.
All right. Next, we'll go to the consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from March 25th, 2019.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items.
Second.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
All right. I came in a couple hours ago, and I went through all payroll claims. Everything seemed to be in order, so we got them taken care of. So anybody want to make a motion on the payroll claim?
I can make a motion. On pay the bills, payroll.
Okay. Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right, next we'll go to the public hearing for the purpose of gathering public input regarding the vacationing or abandoning of the following road, 250th Street. Minimum maintenance portion from S Avenue to Highway 35, approximately 3,526 feet in Dakota County, Nebraska. Is there anybody to speak in favor of that? In favor of closing it?
Yes, I am, and a couple of reasons. One, that's on S Avenue and 250th Street. That's right on top of a hill, and that intersection isn't safe for one reason.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure, you can't, it's too narrow, you can't make it with a truck. It's just someplace, as soon as it rains, for the four-wheel drive
to
test out their equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, the tires or appliances to get through in the road ditch. Really doesn't really serve anybody too much.
Yeah.
Good. We just appreciate your taking it into consideration.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank
anybody
you.
Else to speak in favor of it? Anybody to speak against it? Anybody neutral on it? All right. We'll go ahead and close the hearing on closing that portion of minimum maintenance road.
We don't vote on it until next week.
So we'll go ahead at our next meeting. We'll vote on that at our next meeting.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. All right. Roger Hernandez, come on down.
Roger's asked me to kind of help him out here.
All right.
His English isn't real good.
He's attorney or what?
No, I'm just spokesperson.
All right.
Good guy. All right, Roger.
Roger's a neighbor of mine, and
yep.
During this last event where the rain and the water, it ponded and almost flooded his house on Elgin Avenue. And there's a fix for it. We could put a tube under Elgin Avenue and run it over to the other side, which wouldn't hurt a thing. There's plenty of holding space there. Or to the south, there's two driveways that need to have tubes put in. One of them's Milt Peters's, and the other one goes back to the Peters Addition. And I farm on both sides of that, so I know that it won't bother or create a problem, but it alleviates the water in that Peters Addition.
As it goes to the south there, Rick, where will that water fall? If it goes through those two culverts, does it go down by Zeisler's there in between there and go back to the...
I think there's enough fall that it would go west.
Oh, okay.
And would it get to the other end? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that it wouldn't.
Yeah, it depends on...
Because that ground is
sand.
Sandy. It's real sandy.
50%.
So I think it's a fix for Roger, and I think it would be... It would, you know, get some water off the Elgin Avenue also. But that's what we kind of want to talk about.
All right. Okay. Fred, what do you think?
I looked at it. I didn't see... to me, right where Milk Peters is... driveway is the lowest spot. The ditch on the on the east side drains to the west side, correct?
Well, there is
Belgian Avenue. There's no way for the water to go to the east, so it has to.
Right.
If you keep going south, say through Milk Peters' two driveways there,
right?
That's gradually going. That's uphill.
It is, but. On the other side of that road, I think going to the west, there's a slope there. I could be wrong. You know, just me looking at it.
I did not see that.
Yeah. But on the other side...
What I've seen is right where Milk Peters' driveway was the lowest point.
Okay.
Right from Sunset to the south to Milk Peters. That's the lowest point, and then there's just nowhere for the water to go.
So if you put a tube across Elgin Avenue, would it drain onto the other side?
That ditch line is higher on the east side than it is the west side.
Okay.
There's actually a culvert up the road a little between Sunset and Keeman Drive that drains that ditch, the east side of Elgin, over to the west side of Elgin now.
Okay.
Did he have a 1/6-inch?
Yeah, it's
small
culvert.
Really
small culvert.
I saw it.
Well, the one under Elgin's pretty good sized culvert. It used to be there.
I think it's further north. That tube.
That tube is, to me, 18 to 24.
Yeah, for sure.
And like I said, right between Keeman and Sunset. There's a underneath Elgin. But that ditch line all along the east side of Elgin is higher. I didn't get a transit out and shoot it, just by looking at it, at least 2 foot higher.
Okay.
So that water, like I say, even if you went through Milk Peters' two driveways...
You don't think it would drain south?
No.
Okay.
Then going up by Bill Zeisler's?
Bob Zeisler's.
Bob Zeisler's. It gets much higher.
Okay.
Through that area. That's what I see. If you find me a way to drain the water where it would, you could put in two more culverts in Milk Peters.
It's not doing good.
That ground, actually, even between Milk Peters' two driveways, is higher than to the north of Milk's last north driveway.
But I need another one close to edge in the street, because from Sunset to Kent's, you have only 1/6 inch. Most of the water from the rain coming to Sunset. Right. I need another one.
Well, what he's asking, Fred, why don't you take a look at it?
That's okay. What I'm going to suggest. Why don't Fred and maybe Larry and the road department go out there and take a look at it and see what they can do, you know, and make sure that we don't send that water to somebody else, you know, just do the proper thing. If he needs a bigger tube, I mean, because I can see it was just about 6 inches. It's 6 inches. Yeah. So why don't you
we'll do it.
Yeah.
Get together with the road department.
Thank you,
Rogelio.
Thanks.
Lots of drainage issues.
All right. Is Zach Anderson here? Zach, was on the agenda to talk about Ireton Avenue. I did spend some time out there today and drove up that way, up to his place there. He's got a culvert on his driveway that looks like the downhill side. Plugged like so many of the culverts are over time. They feel, I don't know if you know, just relieving that culvert. It looks like as it goes downhill, it would fall off to that drainage way into the valley there. There's a lot of drainage off to the left. I don't know if that would take care of his problem up there, but as everybody knows, it's been a terrible spring for the county roads. And
well, does the corner down there have a culvert in it?
My understanding is, I was talking to Fred earlier, that down to where it hits the bluff road.
No, I'm on time. We have a time where you go to Swanson. Turn left. The dirt road goes straight ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if there's one there or not. There.
I mean, it runs across the road, so
mm-hmm.
Is there one there, Fred?
No, it's
not. Is there one there, you say?
Yeah.
I do not know. I'm not going to say.
Because both roads come from the east and the north run right to that corner, and then it just runs across the road.
Runs across the road?
Yeah.
I see that also, but I don't know if there's supposed to be a culvert in there, an existing one in there or not, Larry.
I think so.
I believe this one is the one that's under the driveway.
Yeah, it is.
That's where we used to live.
Larry, I did talk to, over the weekend, talk to Brent with S&W. He's a horizontal boring guy.
Right.
There was a culvert, 30-inch culvert out on 142nd out there on the Oscar Stone Farm.
Yeah.
So they were holding water in that low-line area. So the guy who's farming that got a hold of them and had him bore that culvert. And it was full all the way through, and it seemed to work pretty good. So going forward, I did talk to...
did he get out of it?
He ran about a 12-inch hole through it. That's a 30-inch culvert. I was surprised the 30-inch concrete culvert out there. He said he was going to do some checking with his welder and see if he could put a bigger nose on that thing. So it's something I asked him if he would be interested in doing some work for the county if he devised a way to do that. And he said he'd sure be willing to talk to us if it's a type of deal where we could try to clean out. Because I know that cleaning out culverts is about as difficult as it gets.
It is. If we did up the landfill on the
river. And he bored through that thing in no time at all. Yeah. With a 12-inch drainage. Go ahead.
I had a tube that was plugged on the farm, and it was all a 60-foot long. And I hired Roto-Rooter out of Sioux City to come in there, and it was froze, and they jettered that tube for 150 bucks.
Yeah.
So, and that cleaned it actually. Clean all the dirt and everything out of that too.
Yeah, some of those culverts getting some of those looked at. I mean, I think that the spring that we had revealed a lot of issues with drainage, and definitely we need to pay heed to what.
It's a lot cheaper than replacing them.
Yeah, for sure.
$150.
What's his last name? Anderson. Is that Anderson?
That you talked to.
What's his last name, Brent? It starts with a Z. The boring guy. I'll get it.
Brent. Him.
Brent's his first name, but his last name starts with a Z.
I got it.
I'll get
his name.
Okay. Information for you. Okay, then, we're going to rescind the motion we made on the accepting of the gravel bids back at our last meeting, and at this time. So at this time, I would make a motion to rescind the...
Whoever made it has to rescind it. Okay. And then Janet, right?
Yep. And I made it.
Did you find out how long their bids are good for?
For the year.
No.
Well, I was concerned about LG Eversby. Supposedly they raised the
prices.
Lux's price, $10 a ton.
Fred, when they place that bid, how long is that bid?
Good for.
Good for 15 days?
What about the bid?
The gravel bid, how long is it good for how long is that bid good for?
1 year.
Does
so we take the bid next year.
Does it say that?
No.
Was it sent?
Does it say a year?
Do they have a time to withdraw?
Because what I heard, they would say up Lux's price, $10 a ton. Mm-hmm. They got a shortage on the rental balance.
Lux's went up $10 a ton?
Well, that's what they told Ryan.
That could be, I don't know.
But so if we don't have something signed and have them locked in, they can change the price.
Yeah.
If we don't sign and send it back, it's accepted.
The reason, and that's the main reason we take the gravel business to lock in on price.
Yeah, I understand, but until you sign it.
I just got a notice from LG Everest. You know, their rail line's out. They're calling Act of God. They're going to up theirs $10.
That's what I'm talking about.
I thought you said Lexus.
No, well, they raised Lexus price.
Yeah.
$10 a ton.
Yeah.
And he made the comment that there's nothing can do about it. He's just going to have to pass it on to the consumer.
Yeah.
So the Act of God clause, probably, what's that have to do with our bid there, Counselor?
I haven't got the letter yet. I got a telephone.
Well, just through the 15th.
And then how many days do we have to sign that bid?
You say anyway, John.
A lot of times it'll say, you know, 15 days.
Good. No bidder may withdraw his bid within 15 days after the actual date of the opening thereof.
Okay, so it's been 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
For the opening, yeah.
But I was when I got the letter, Kevin called me from LG Evers today, said that was what was happening. He said I'd be receiving a letter and I was going to have the county attorney.
Well, yes, okay. So whether you sign anything or not, it's going up $10.
Yeah.
So now we're going to have to resort to crushed concrete,
correct,
which is probably better anyway.
Correct. That's what Mike did.
Well, we knew that.
That's exactly
serious. I mean, I ain't just saying that because Mark's got some old.
No, it doesn't matter.
E.A. Davis has been down here and got a bunch on.
But it's $16.50 a ton and it's closer, why not?
Well, I understand, but the Davis got a pile there and it's got the quartzite in it, crushed up the old quartzite highway.
But I think we're in a position right now, contract or not, we got to go take material wherever we find it.
You understand?
That's why.
And for the cheapest price, I mean, if we're going to stick with a two bidders or something like that, and they're out or they raise it $10 a ton, I mean, if you can drive enough of these roads, you can see we need product out there.
And everybody's in the same or worse situation.
Exactly.
So people are starting to run out. People are starting to not have it available.
It's not going to get better.
Yeah.
It's going to be that way, and it's not going to be over in 2 weeks.
No.
Well, Dave's got about 20,000 ton down there. Well, actually, 30,000 ton. That one pile, if it was me, for my own personal use, I'd say, hey, I want the whole pile. You want to check now or later, but it's going to cost the guy a couple hundred thousand. I got that kind of money, so I'd have to get down here.
Dave who?
Davis, D.A.
Oh, D.A.
Brad. But down by the railroad bridge. It's some good looking stuff, I'm telling you. And that particular pile he's got there don't have all the fines.
You know what he's getting the time for?
No, I'm going to find out. I saw it down there Friday. I drove through there Saturday. But I can find out. And if I choose one, he'd get cheaper.
Okay.
Marty,
you have a motion to rescind the motion. Because Larry put a bid in that did not go through the clerk's office.
Yeah, that ain't necessary. Anyways, it's because they ain't got none until August anyway. So,
you know, what's up? So then we just have to vote on it, right?
And then just redo your little quick.
Yeah.
But if you vote on something you can't even buy, what's...
No, we're just rescinding that motion, and then we'll do the new one for the three that we...
So we can add another source.
No. But if they say that... They can't supply it, then what do you do? I mean, if we're less than $10 a ton.
Well, you have it. You still have to do it. You still have to have a bid. You still have the proper channels you got to go through.
Yeah, I understand, but if you can't afford to buy it from them, I wouldn't think you'd want to accept it.
All right, we'll just accept them. That doesn't mean we have to use them. You know, there's a lot of them that we don't use.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so Marty moved.
I made the motion.
Janet seconded and withdraw to rescind your motion.
Okay. All right.
Larry.
So what are we doing?
We're rescinding that motion.
We're just throwing the bids out?
Yeah, and then we're going to do a new motion to take the three others that are good.
Yeah, okay.
Just the motion.
Okay, I have to start with Marty. Sorry. Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, and the board to approve the award gravel bids for the bids all timely and properly filed by 4:30 March 22nd, 2019 in the Dakota County Clerk's Office.
Second.
So we need to make a motion. We have nothing. My motion is to approve the deeds that we properly filed on 4:30 p.m. March 22nd, 2019 in Dakota County. That's my motion.
Second that.
Tony?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
So really, price wise, where would we buy the trailer? What are the charges for the crushed concrete?
Where's Tony? Tony's running out.
I guess that's a terrible thing. Well, actually, it's better price than the hell you ever have to go through a hole in it.
$130, $130, $130.
And I don't know if many people don't like it. I don't know what I'm trying
to say. So, Fred, the crushed concrete's about the same a ton as the...
$1,650.
About what the stuff was over at Evers. But closer. And,
yep.
All righty. All right, Fred, time for your road report while you're up there.
Total road maintenance hours, 274. Put a culvert on Inwood, 20 hours. Gravel haul, 3,500 ton. Signs and barricades, 19 hours. Road concerns, more than we needed. Grading E Avenue, East Sarpy, L Avenue, 122nd Street, Park Avenue, West Sarpy, L Avenue, North and Fiddler. Gravel, E Avenue, East Sarpy, L Avenue, 122nd, Park Avenue, West Sarpy, H Avenue, and I'm sure there's some we missed. Potholes, all of Tompkins Edition. Culvert concerns, that one on Inwood.
Fred, we started talking and then we got cut off earlier about the bridge out there and the dirt on the approaches. What's the status of that?
The bridge approaches, I contacted five contractors, got one bid. That was $31,000 and some cents. That was Lux Brothers.
To do what?
Bridge approaches on that.
Approaches?
The approaches, yeah. There is also some road damage done on this year's flood. It even went back away from the bridge clear. I don't know if anyone's been out there, but it's went to Mr. Cleveland's lane there almost and washed part of the road away. So that, but that's on this year's flood. But anyway, the deck is going to be poured either this week or next week. He said he'd in 2 weeks at the most. Unless I start writing these. But I told him I had a commissioner's meeting, and if they told me to push you harder, I would. So, but we're doing the bridge approaches and the roads. So the way it looked at the deck and everything else would be about by the time you get the deck poured and cured. The dirt put in there and gravel and rock, everything should be about 3 to 4 weeks.
So your thought with the only one bid is just that everybody's so busy with the things that are going on?
That's all I got.
Surprised me. His old man was pretty interested in the job.
Yeah, well, I sent out five bid invitations. Three contractors went out and looked at it, Mark and Oban and Lexus, and I only received one bid. I have contacted two other people of bridges, the High Bridge in Jackson, and the Bluff Bridge there, just south of Jackson. There's damage done to them, but at least I've got contractors at least looking at it.
Yeah.
That little bridge over to Hubbard looks like the shoulder of the road there by the guardrails dropping off on the southwest corner of the bridge. That tube that comes out of the road that goes up over the hill and the dead ends up there to the park.
Yep.
There's a tube under that road and it comes out, pretty sized tube, and it's washed to a crater back alongside the road.
Does it just need more breakout or something in it?
Well, it needs something, but right now the top of the pile cap's showing, the bottom of the pile cap's showing, and the guardrail's hanging.
Because I think we put some breakout in there once before, Larry.
Yeah, there is, but they ain't near enough, and I mean, sometimes that ain't the answer.
To be right on, I have not stopped and looked at that bridge. There's probably the bridge south of Homer. They said once we did the repairs to the approach and the deck, we could at least reopen it again as 3-ton. I did have an engineer, Husker Steel, start looking at it for to see if it could get on the Nebraska Match program. That'll be a decision you once you see the prices, whether you want what you want to do with it.
Does anybody complain about that bridge being closed?
Yes.
Oh, they do.
There's a guy called and told me that when he hauls corn, he likes to use it. And I'm not kidding.
Of course, our grader operator, he goes across with a motor grader, and they weigh 40,000. I guess 3,000, I don't know.
And there was a couple residents, too, Larry, that was asked.
It just looked to me like if I was going to go anywhere, it'd be to Homer. But, I mean, they might have business and want to make work at the hospital or something. I'm just curious.
All right. Well, thanks, Fred.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Sheriff.
Afternoon. So March average for county inmates in the jail, we had 91, federal 24, and total in-house 115. The calendar, 2019 calendar average inmates is 85, federal 28. Juveniles 0.02, and total in-house 113. And 18-19 fiscal average is 87, federal inmates 26, 0.02 on juveniles, 0.02 that is, 13. Marshals, last month we got in 45,800, ICE 6,376, BIA 130, and March federal total was 52,306. Fiscal for marshals was 410,931, fiscal ICE 99,575, 1,950 from BIA, federal total is 512,457. 19 calendar federal is 177,121. March county contracts 5,188, and fiscal county contracts 18-19 is 48,664. Our average went up in March per inmate at $71 a day. Averaging, we had 3 pay periods, so it kind of set us up a little bit. Jail spent $258,000 for the month of March. Jail's 76% of total estimated budget. We're 1% over for the fiscal year. 75% of total estimated yearly budget in March 2018. Jail spent $57,000 more than allotted for March, 22% over budget for the month. So we went up substantially, getting some hospital and a lot of that extra pay. March bookings, 27 for a sheriff's office, 46 for PD, NSP was 6, self-turn-in 17, feds 27, and other 5. And pretty much it.
How's the medical thing going? What's the going all right, or just...
No.
It's been bad lately, hasn't it?
It's been real bad lately.
So this part of the reason...
There's been some bills introduced. There's been a case that we've been following that had to do with a city and a county and who's allowed to pay or who has to pay. And there's just other things. Nothing's been settled on it yet. State Supreme Court kicked the can down the road and put it back on. It's just, you know, medical is what kills us. Medical's the highest expense by far. Mm-hmm. And people in the state of Nebraska know that if they go to jail, they get all their medical taken care of. That's the sad part.
And a lot of states aren't that way. Is that
no, most states, this day and age, I mean, it's changed a lot in 10 years. Most states either do a small reimbursement or something, you know, something civil on the inmate that requires them to reimburse. I know Iowa does, South Dakota does. Never did get that fast in Nebraska. Worked on that probably 10, 15 years ago and pushed and pushed and pushed and... I hate to say who stopped it, but I won't say.
It was a doctor, the legislation.
It was the county attorney's association for some reason. I don't think you wasn't around then. No.
Oh.
Anyway, I think that's something that we ought to talk to our senator, and we need to get some type of...
The legislation that does need to be aware of what's going on.
It's only going to get worse.
You think so?
Oh, I guarantee it.
We're a magnet, Tony.
This is the guy called Dakota County General Hospital, because that's what it seems like.
We're just like a magnet. All the benefits we got here in the county has trapped everybody. The
county has 22,000 people, and we average in 115 inmates a day.
Good to see you.
Anyway, so you guys want to do a tour today, or?
Jenny, you have to be on the road in a bit.
At 3.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and push it back to the next meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I'm here. No, seriously, I...
Yeah.
What's that, 2 weeks? I should... I won't be here that week.
You can do the tour without me if you'd like to.
Yeah, we can. We'll just do it. No, we'll go ahead.
I still need to take the tour and show you.
Yep.
We'll do it.
We'll do it.
Okay. Quick. Most of you have been in there already.
Yep.
Anytime you want to come down and go for it, I'm happy to take it.
Yep, I've been there a couple times too.
Well, Kevin's here, he can do it for you.
Kevin? Well, I'd rather have the captain or something than a deputy.
All right, Sheriff, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Now the agenda. All right. So the board needs to approve or not approve membership request from the Nebraska Outlaw Trail Scenic Byway Highway 12 fee of $100. Are you aware of the program? What that includes, Joan? What they're
Their mission statement is to promote our diverse and unique cultures, history, landscape, recreational opportunities, and educational events, thereby enhancing the economic prosperity for our communities.
And this is $100 every year? Or every,
yes.
Every year.
On Highway 12 that runs through Dakota County?
On Highway 12.
Have we done this before, or is this the first time we're on it?
We've never done it before.
Are we on Highway 12? Do we even have Highway
12? Yeah, from Willis through Ponca there.
Oh, yeah, because I knew it. I didn't know if that was still Dakota County.
You bet.
They spend $3,100 on advertising and travel magazines, over $575 on websites.
I think it's a good cause, but the problem is where we want to get the money. Even $100.
Tony, you got her.
Yeah, you bet.
You said 1,000 bells a day.
I noticed that they did have our Cardinal Days. That was the only thing I could see that was advertised that was related to us.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinal Days.
It was on
the list.
Yeah. Go ahead and make a motion. Yeah, let's go ahead.
I'm making a motion to approve that membership request in the Nebraska Outlaw Trail by sending by Bed Highway 12 for $100.
I'll second it.
Okay, we're going to do our quarterly jail visit here in just a little bit.
I'll call roll for that motion. Larry?
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Commissioner committee reports. Anybody got anything to report?
I don't have any report, no.
I don't really have
quiet.
I don't really. Oh, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'm Jim Cleveland. I live on East Arp here.
You bet.
What's this guy want money for what?
It's the scenic byways here on Highway 12. They do advertising, trying to get people to go up and down Highway 12. Essentially, it's a deal to motivate people to use Highway 12 and the businesses along Highway 12.
Oh, I wish you'd repair that first.
Highway 12?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been driving a lot lately, and it's got. They're doing a lot of 20 on west of there.
How much money does he want?
$100.
$100
a year.
$100.
And that's $100.
Yeah.
You got it.
No, I'm on pension. $100 is pretty good money for me.
I know about your concern on Highway 12. Yeah, you're right there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
This year's Emergency Management Convention in the state of Nebraska, our emergency manager was recognized as the state's Emergency Manager of the Year.
Oh, wow.
By there. And her husband, who volunteers for the Emergency Management, was actually Nebraska's Volunteer of the Year.
Hmm. Volunteer?
And the Volunteer of the Year for the things that he does at the Emergency Management. So I just thought I'd
nice
bring that in.
Recognized.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
Mail or emergency business? All right, at this time we're going to go ahead and adjourn. And
no, we don't adjourn.
Oh, that's right, don't adjourn until we do our jail tour.
No,
there's
another.
Yeah, I'm just curious. My name is Olga Guevara, and I'm just curious if I could get a more detailed report on some of the budgeting for the jail. Is that something that I can request as a public citizen?
I guess so. I don't know what she wants.
What? This is just the basic information, but I'm wondering if there's a more detailed report as to, for example, Sheriff Steinberg mentioned that there is some extra charges for hospital visits and medical expenses. Is there anything more specific as to details of, you know, are these medications, or is there any reason why these inmates are getting sick? I don't know. I'm just curious to see if there's any more information that we can obtain as
Olga visited with me, and she asked me that, and I said, you better go to the meeting and ask the commissioners there or the sheriff's department. But as far as,
the accounts payable claims are public.
I thought it was a public record, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You got it on the website,
don't you? It is on the website.
Yeah.
I've been browsing the website, and there's, I saw limited information, but I don't know if there's anything. What was the name of that report?
Every
the accounts payable report. So it's in the minutes
and the paper.
This report
and
that you told me on your computer.
Yeah, that's the one that I was looking at. It's just not very detailed in my opinion. But
as far as the medical man, if I may,
sure.
That's all HIPAA. Hmm. I can't.
The HIPAA privacy.
Correct.
Sure, I understand.
So I may be able to show you. We contract with the National Medical Health at ACH that handles. We have a doctor that comes in, and we have an on-staff nurse that we handle most of this with.
Uh-huh.
So those numbers are pretty much set by contract, and so we have to remove them and take them across state lines to a hospital that really starts costing us a lot.
And that's what's happening now with this report?
Not with this report. This report, I can talk to you anytime. If you want to come in the sheriff's office or call me, I'll give you my number, my card. You can call me, I'll tell you. It's all public information except for HIPAA stuff.
Okay,
I'll do that.
That's what I told you.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you.
Let me get my card for you, okay?
Absolutely, thank you.
Thanks, Olga. Okay. 249. 249. Yeah.
Yeah. Quick phone call.
9. Did you see my agenda back?
There
it is. Back.
You bet.
I'm sorry. There we go. Like I said, that's what the learning curve is to see.
I was going to tell you that under the audit came in. I will put that on the next agenda.
I got to do a quick howdy do with the gal there.
What?
I think I need to do a quick howdy do with the gal now.
Oh, the
press. All right. What's that?
What?
Are you leaving?
Am I leaving?
Yeah.
I have to leave till 3, so I can hang around for a
minute. Okay.
I have to get to Mapleton by Maryland. I'll see how far it is from Mapleton. I'll get to Mapleton.
Mapleton. Oh, wait,
for you?
Ain't I a lucky man?
Mapleton.
This could be short and sweet.
Yeah, put thumbs up.
Hold up the two words.
Yeah. Look what I got. I saw you. No, actually, I read it in the first. It was.
Really?
Yeah.
50 minutes.
Yeah.
You need another one?
Okay, good.
Oh, okay.
shooting for 3:30 on Thursday, John, with Janet.
Shut this tape off. Crap, holy.